Welcome to the Optimal Optimism podcast series, made active by Virgin Active. The single-minded focus of the series is to empower you with practical tools to create a positive and abundant life. Our aim is to replace the glass half empty mentality with the productive glass half full mindset. As part of the series, we'll be chatting to Virgin Active experts who'll be giving their insights on the topics we discuss. In this episode, we ask questions. Are parents positively interacting and communicating with their kids? And how do we empower the next generation of leaders? To help us find the answers, we speak to Dr. Eileen Africa. Dr. Africa received her PhD in sports science in 2006 from Stellenbosch University, where she later initiated the Honors Kinderkinetics program in the Department of Sports Science. She's currently the coordinator of the program Stellenbosch Kinderkinetics and serves on the South African Professional Institute for Kinderkinetics. Dr. Africa, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Barrett, and thanks for having me.
So let's dive straight in. Do you feel that there is an understanding of children and kids in 2021?
Thank you for that question. I think it's a loaded question. And I think if we look at children overall and we look at policies and decisions, I don't think that we consider them when we make decisions. It's almost like people think kids are miniature adults and they're not. Yeah. There are a lot of circumstances surrounding, you know, the development and the growth of children. And so we need to think about them as children.
Yeah. I see people talk down to children and not with them, as if they, you know, they're sometimes not heard in the sense that mm-hmm. people sort of so busy with their lifestyles. They're busy with their day-to-day interactions. When kids talk, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And they sort of brushed off where they're not heard and listened to.
Definitely. I work a lot with kids and I also have my own kids. And the main thing is that you mustn't listen to respond, but you must listen to understand.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult to understand what's going on in a little one's mind because you think it's just a little person, you know, but there's a lot of things happening at the same time. If you think of the holistic development, you think of the emotional development, the physical, the cognitive development, you need to listen to understand.
What do you feel are the biggest challenges facing children in current times?
So I think our current circumstances are limiting children's natural cycle of growth and development. Kids are not allowed to be kids anymore. There are a lot of factors that can play a role. Just think about the last 2 years. Social interaction, you know, they need to social distance. So the social interaction with other people or peers or even their parents or teachers or coaches, it's limited. Also the fact that they are wearing masks and not able to see facial expressions, that's also limiting their emotional development. Just generally, there are a lot of challenges with regards to safety. So they can't just play outside or even in the road. Both parents are working, so they don't have time to spend or interact with their children. And then, of course, and this is my field of expertise, where the general decline in physical activity overall, I mean, it's before COVID, there was a general decline in physical activity. If we look at PE in schools, that's non-existent. And that's actually where kids have the time to engage in moderate to vigorous physical activity and not be sedentary.
Yeah.
So that's some of the challenges that I think that we are facing, but specifically kids, they are facing these challenges, and we as adults, we need to think about ways to help them to overcome these challenges.
And how have these challenges changed over time?
You know, if I think of COVID and the pandemic, the challenges intensified over time. and it's not easily mitigated by the parents. And as I've mentioned, there are various reasons for this. Most parents are working from home. So in actual fact, the time that they spend at home is not the time that they can interact with the kids anymore, because now it's shared. And also, you know, the longer hours of working and the expectations from employers, because you are here, you are in front of your computer. So why can't you answer this email?
Would you agree, though, as well, that, you know, with the whole impact of the digital world, the cell phones, the laptops, the iPads, all these different elements, is a good tool that has seen or allowed the sedentary in the kids become more and more and more over time?
Yeah, yes and no. I think the moment we start to talk about the technology and, you know, engaging in sedentary behavior and lack of physical activity, and the fact that we were in lockdown for a very long time, that is all things that you need to consider. The research has shown that almost 82% of 5 to 7 year old kids are familiar with digital devices even before they can read, you know, even before they can wow. take a book and read a few sentences. Yeah. So that is really alarming if you think about it that way. But also, there are no conclusive evidence or research being done that will give you a guideline as to what is the optimal amount of screen time that you can engage in. So, you know, it's almost like there's a yes and no answer. So it's okay for kids to engage in online content or technology. But on the other hand, it's also beneficial for them to engage in physical activity exactly. and not be sedentary. They call it the Goldilocks effect.
Okay, that's so interesting. What is that?
The question is there a right amount of technology use for kids? Yes or no? So the Goldilocks effect argues that moderate engagement in online or digital activities is beneficial in terms of, you know, connectedness and growth and development. But then the question arises, do you spend too much time yeah. on it or too little time on it? And that might prove to be detrimental, either too much or too little.
From your perspective, do you think at this current time that communication mm-hmm. between parents and children are in a good space?
That is quite a loaded question. Yeah. And I think there's no right or wrong. But in my opinion, I think only time will tell whether communication is good or bad, because I don't think we can measure this at the moment. Okay. But I can just speculate and say, this is just my opinion, that no, I don't think communication is good at the moment between adults and children. I think if we think about what's happening in the news, suicide attempts, depression is escalating amongst young kids. I mean, we heard about abuse, child abuse in their homes, their own families, their own friends. And I think there's not an open communication or trust, I think, between parents and kids or adults and kids at the moment. I think parents are so busy just coping
yeah.
and they don't have enough time to spend with kids. So I think there's also, you know, a gap where you need to think as a parent, I need to spend time with my kids, but I also need to know my kid and I need to give them that environment where they can trust me and they can come to me and they can tell me what's going on in their everyday life or at school or with friends or anywhere.
And oftentimes you see parents give in to kids with their demands, whether it's what they want at the shops or the technical device, or I want to watch that or more screen time just to appease the child and that so that they'll stop crying. And that whole I don't know if you would agree with me calling that manipulation dynamic between the parent and child is played out, and the kid knows just how to press the buttons, and then the parent gives in to those buttons that are pressed just so that to keep the peace, in inverted commas.
The other thing is also, it's the easy way out.
Yeah.
So if I think about what is easier for me as a parent when I work at home, after school, I still need to work because my hours are longer and the child is here after school. You know, it's easier for me to say, sit in front of the TV or play games on your mobile device so that you can work, you know, so that the child can be quiet. But that is not what we want. You know, we need to engage with your child, even though if it's a sedentary behavior, if it's something that you watch on TV, use it as a educational opportunity where you can ask the child questions about certain things. So I don't say that you need to throw out the TV entirely, but I mean, you can combine your physical activity time outside and your sedentary time, but make it, you know, co-viewing, make it as if it's still engaging and still communicating while you're watching things on TV. That's just an example. And I wanted to say, about being more attentive. So we spoke about suicide attempts and we spoke about depression amongst kids. The thing with adults and with parents, you need to be attentive. You need to be attentive, especially when it comes to your child's emotional state. You need to look for changes in behavior because sometimes they can't communicate verbally, but they will show things that's out of their character. And that is where you need to be, you know, alert to know something is happening with my child and I need to be able to ask the right questions. So that's also one thing that we need to schedule. We need to schedule time to interact with our kids. I wanted to say you need to make time, but you can make time and you have a meeting and the meeting goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
You need to schedule that time in your calendar and say, it's unfortunate. That's the reality. We need to schedule it in and say, this is the time that I can't book anything. This is my family time with my child. And I think that's the only way that's going to work, because if you make time and it's just in inverted commas, it's, you know, it's not a set scheduled time in your calendar, you will miss that opportunity to interact with your child.
And also when interacting, it's about engaging and interacting and communicating, not child sitting over there and you busy checking emails on your phone and busy checking social media.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned the co-viewing and the scheduling of the time and being attentive. Are there any other ways parents can improve their interactions and communication with their kids?
Yes, definitely. I think you need to put on your child hat, if I can call it like that, and think about things that you enjoyed when you were a little one. Emphasize that exercise and movement and physical activity can be fun, and also get them involved in your planning. So remember, they are still little ones. So all the activities that you plan must be age appropriate so that they can feel they're successful. But also think about it. It can't be too easy because then they'll get bored. The other thing is that you as a parent, you need to be a role model. Like you said now, I can't sit on the couch and check my emails or be on Facebook or interact on social media with people and, you know, watch my child play.
Yeah.
You need to be out there and you need to do things with him, even if it's walking the dog, walk to the beach, you know, I don't know, run while they cycle,
yeah,
jump into the pool. You know, we're getting older, but I still jump onto the trampoline because that's the thing that my kids love. They love being on a trampoline. So think about things that you like,
yeah,
but also get them involved and let them give you ideas of how to do things. I mean, even chores, what I do weekends, we make it a fun game. So let them help you with chores. Let them take off the washing, but do it in a fun way. See who can take off the most blue things that's on the line, yep, and make it educational, you know?
Yep.
So things like that. Think out of the box. It doesn't have to be structured, planned. Leave that for the therapists and the PE teachers and the coaches. Make things easier for you as a parent. So use chores, use walking the dog, use picking up leaves, stuff like that.
What other ways can we motivate children to exercise and move more and get away from that digital world of the lethargic?
Yeah, so if you think about the World Health Organization says that a child needs to engage in moderate to vigorous physical activity for 60 minutes per day. But just think about your 60 minutes. You can break it up into smaller bouts of physical activity throughout the day. So what you want as a parent or what you want as a teacher, you want to instill the love of physical activity very early in life so that it's a natural thing. It's something that they want to do. It's something that they enjoy doing. So I would say start small. Try to incorporate that into your daily routine and then give them plenty of opportunities to be active. And the main thing is you need to focus on the fun. So even if you do 10 minutes before school, make it fun, you know, make it a competition between brother and sister. Who can brush their teeth the quickest?
Yeah.
You can do anything. You can do animal walks to the bathroom, or you can use the tiles in your living room and say, okay, see if you can jump with 2 feet and see how many jumps you can get in from the lounge to the bathroom. So it's stuff like that. You can incorporate that into your daily routine. That's 10 minutes out of your 60 minutes already that they are physically active or that they are moving.
That's also great because not only are they getting that 10 minutes in, but they're getting tasks done at the same time.
Yes.
So it doesn't actually have to be more time to get it in. We're incorporating it into the day-to-day routine of getting things done. So it's multitasking.
Yep. It's multitasking. And the other thing that I wanted to say is, as a parent, you need to think about the child you have, not the child you were, or the child you want.
I love that.
So what I'm saying is that you need to incorporate things that they love as well. So we want them to be physically active. We want them to move, but we can't force things. For instance, I can't tell my 11-year-old, you have to play with a rugby ball or you have to kick a soccer ball. You know, she's a dancer. She's a gymnast. I need to use, you know, own body movement or things that I know that she will feel successful. So I can, for my kids, for instance, I can make it a cartwheel competition, you know?
Yeah.
So I know it's something that they love, but I can incorporate that into my daily routine and also combine it with their chores.
In what way can parents best support children with the challenges they faced with on a daily basis?
It's a difficult one. And I think it depends on the parent and the type of work that they do as well. But I think, and I'm going to use myself as an example, how you can support is, number one, you need to set screen time boundaries to make it easier for you as well. You need to manage screen time across multiple devices. So in some cases, you have schools that uses laptops and tablets and devices like that. So they already have screen time at school. What we do as parents, we have an app. One example is Family Link, where you can actually manage their time from your device and you can actually see what they're doing. So you can see what they're downloading. You can see how much time they spend on a certain game or on Facebook or on Instagram. So I think stuff like that you need to put in place. You can also use the mobile device and ask them to install an exercise app or educational apps where you can combine exercise and education. But the thing with these apps are you need parental control. So you as a parent also need to understand what it means, and you can actually sit down with your child and do the research together so that you can ask the right questions. It's also a way for you to learn what is it that they want out of that specific game. So I can't say, okay, it's fine, you can download the game, but I have no idea what's the content of the game.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, you need to do stuff with them together. Even a cooking app. I mean, that's also spending time with your kid, but you know exactly what's going on the app. And with Family Link, as an example, you can see how much time they spend on that specific app.
And doing these things together, it will form that trust and that communication so that when other challenges come into play, the kids will feel comfortable to come to parents and say, hey, I've got this challenge. How can we? How can you help me, or how can I, you know, help myself to get over this challenge?
Exactly. In my house, it's not taking away anything. It's about moderation. And with mobile devices and technology, it's all about, you know, the precautionary approach. So you will still tell them to switch off everything an hour before bedtime, or you will make, specific times available if you use an app for them to engage in games and things. Another thing that I think that can help is if you do in your house, you do media free locations. So your bedroom is off limits or the kitchen is off limits, or when we have lunch together, you know, technology is off limits. I think your main focus as a parent must be to focus on activities that enhances healthy, holistic development, and not to be over concerned about over connectedness, if it makes sense.
Yeah. You mentioned that hour before bedtime being disconnected. Can we unpack that a little bit and you explain why, where that time period is and what effects it has on kids and people being on their devices right before going to sleep?
Yeah, so this is not really my field of expertise, but what I know about technology and cell phones and television and whatever technology devices you use is that it decreases melatonin, which is what you need to sleep. So if you engage in a lot of technology or cell phone or television just before you go to bed, especially with kids, they're still growing, they're still developing, it impacts the hours of sleep that they get in.
So it could mean that they don't have as restful sleep because their brains are so active with all the elements that the digital world affects them with just before going to sleep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I know technology changed over the years, but it's all about the blue light.
Yes.
And the short wavelength.
Yes.
Which affects natural sleep and wake cycles. So as we all know, kids go to bed with their cell phones, which is a smaller screen, and that can have an impact on reduced melatonin.
So last couple of questions. For the parents listening, what are the top 3 or 4 or 5 things they can implement today to improve their relationship with their kids?
Okay, so I'm going to repeat a few.
Yeah.
So I think the first one for me that's really important is do not listen to respond. Listen to understand.
Okay,
so that's the main one. Also, decrease screen time or sedentary behavior and spend time with your kids, but schedule that time. And remember, when you schedule time with your child, make it fun. Give them the opportunity to make some of the choices. Give them maybe one or two things to select from. And that empowers them as well to make the right healthy choices. And make it part of your daily routine. I think it's difficult at first, at the beginning, but I think when you get into that routine, it's actually quite nice to do things together and to have fun together and actually work together and create a healthy, active lifestyle together as a family.
Dr. Aileen, thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure chatting to you regarding this topic for the Optimal Optimism podcast. And I really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Optimal Optimism podcast, made active for you by Virgin Active. Find out more information on our sponsors by visiting virginactive.co.za or follow at Virgin Active SA on all social media platforms. Optimal Optimism is produced by me, Barrett Edelstein, together with Erin Madise and Spike Valentine, and is available on cliffcentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts.